Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Canadian Energy Services and Technology Corp conference call and webcast with respect to the recently announced third quarter 2014 results. Presenting for the company today will be Mr. Tom Simons, President and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Craig Nieboer, Chief Financial Officer. Please be advised that this call is being recorded. A question and answer session will follow at the end of the presentation. I would now like to turn the conference call over to Mr. Craig Nieboer, Chief Financial Officer of Canadian Energy Services and Technology Corp. Please go ahead, Mr. Nieboer.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for attending the call. Before we start, I'd like to note that in our commentary today, there will be forward-looking financial information and that the actual results may differ materially from the expected results due to various risk factors and assumptions. These risk factors and assumptions are summarized in our Q3 MD&A, our Q3 press release, and in our AIF dated March 13, 2014. In addition, certain financial measures that we will refer to today are not recognized under generally accepted accounting policies, and for description and definition of these, please see our third quarter MD&A. At this time, I'll turn it over to Tom Simons, our President and CEO.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for attending our call. Obviously, we're very pleased with the quarter. We've got record revenue, record EBITDA. We're having strong contributions from all parts of our business. I'm going to talk through what the different parts of the business are doing for the company, why they're succeeding. We'll talk about production chemicals, specialty chemicals in both countries, drilling fluids in both countries. We'll talk about clear and equal, some plans we have to, we think, grow our business even through the oil prices. We'll have Craig talk about finance, and then we'll take questions. For the quarter, production and specialty chemical business was up very nicely in both markets, so Canada and the U.S. As people that know the company realize, we've expanded our product offering. We've increased our throughput of solid chemistry. We've brought organophilic clay to the market. We're seeing nice growth in the frac chemical market. We've built a good team of people to penetrate that market. Our base business there, call it production chemicals, it's growing very nicely in the U.S. and about a year ago turned the corner in Canada and is now making a significant contribution to the bottom line. We're developing new geographic markets, specifically West Texas, under the leadership of Paul Stevens, whose business we bought at the start of September, Southwest Treating. Paul's helping us build out or expand our position in the Eagle Ford. We see solid chemistry being a door opener for the Eagle Ford, and we see Supercore being a big door opener and the patented H2S scavenger for the Permian market. Mike Gilbert, who runs our drilling fluids group in West Texas, and Paul are working collaboratively to try to double down on our existing infrastructure and use our deep relationships in West Texas on the drilling side to help expand JChem Southwest. We're seeing nice growth in the Deep Basin in Canada for PureChem, and as a result of a small transaction we did to buy a specialty provider of H2S scavenger into the oil sands, we've nicely penetrated that market and are seeing some growth there. On the drilling side, we've had market share gains in the U.S. They've mostly come through technology. We've expanded our position in West Texas, and the expansion has largely included the addition of horizontal work. MMH is a technology that we brought into the company with the services of the inventor, a PhD chemist, last year around Christmas. This is a water-based mud system that cures lost circulation in what we call thief zones or fragile formations. We've had a handful of blue chip operators be able to improve their drilling results by not experiencing lost circulation on what we would call the build section. This has allowed operators to drill monobores in wells that without that technology require a string of intermediate casing. So it's giving customers significant cost savings, and it's giving us a competitive advantage that's winning business. We brought a system, an oil-based system, to market in West Texas earlier this year called EnerReach. This is an oil-based mud system or invert mud that is viscosified without the use of clay. It cleans the hole better than conventional oil-based muds, and we're making nice gains in West Texas with that system because it cleans the hole better, which allows the operator to drill longer. For anyone that's looking at the results of the pumpers, it certainly looks like what the best outcome for production is for the customer is to drill a longer horizontal leg and put bigger and bigger fracs into more stages. So if you're the drilling fluid company that can help push that lateral out the extra 1,000 meters or mile, you're the guy that gets hired. We've had some additional gains of a nice new customer, I'll call it, in the Eagleford. This is kind of an expansion of our position there with one of the leading E&Ps in the States. That's a market that we think we can grow nicely over time, and we think we'll continue to see capital from our customers. We've also increased our job count in the Northeast U.S. as natural gas has recovered a bit. That's in both the Marcellus and the Utica. And we've had some gains into what people are calling the scoop play in Mid-Continent. This is very deep work with big operators, so they're nice new wins for us. In Canada, we continue to have a very broad market penetration. We've got a lot of deep work in the Montney and the Duvernay. We've just this week rolled out what we're calling EnerClear 2. It's the use of drilling deep overpressured formations like the Montney with a brine. We've introduced, with patent protection around the chemistry, a new corrosion inhibitor that we believe will allow operators to use inexpensive salts to build these brines. In our lab, we've been able to create a magnitude better corrosion prevention than existing technology. Common metal loss rates with these calcium chloride brines is 10 to 20 NPY. Under the chemistry that we've got patent application on, in the lab, we see a result of 1 NPY. We think this will allow us to give customers confidence to use this technology to take time off their drills without creating corrosion controls or corrosion issues around drill pipe, drill rigs, or the liners that they put in to complete the wells. Think it's noteworthy that we started 7 months ago trying to create a new generation of chemistry for this. In a period of 7 months, our scientists between Calgary and Kansas were able to go from concept to commercially mixing that product this week, and we do have patent application in on that technology. In the oil sands and heavy oil for drilling, that part of the market remains very robust for us. We have the leading share in Canada in both SAGD and heavy oil cold recovery wells. Southeast Saskatchewan, which has always historically been a strong market for us, remains robust on the drilling side. Clear and Equal, they remain very complementary and steady business lines for us. Clear, of course, is our environmental services group. We're seeing a real shift in that business from just disposing of drilling fluid waste during and post-drilling to water management. We're very confident in the strong leadership from Gavin Grimson that we get it clear. It's giving us reason to look at the water part of our business. We see increasing volumes of produced water going to disposal. We see increased volumes of water for frac flowback. We're helping customers source water, dispose of water. We think under Gavin's leadership, we need to look at ways to grow clear in that area, and we think we have the right horses for that. And certainly macro conditions in our market tell us that that's a place to be. In 2015, as people will have seen from our press release, we've chose not to issue guidance at this point. We don't think that's wise. We're very customer focused as a business. We think we've got an appropriate level of confidence that we will retain the drilling work that we do for our customers. What we're unsure of is how much they will do, because their cash flow looks to be down in 15, and probably common sense says the people aren't going to go to market to put out equity to fund drilling with lower share prices. We think what we have to offer our customers are top ideas and technology. We have the best execution in industry, and we think we built this company for exactly times like this. Being vertically integrated or a self-supplier is huge. We're not a reseller of other people's products, which we think will allow us to weather a quieter drilling and completion time. Also like to highlight that JChem and PureChem, we believe we can grow those businesses in this environment as the operator is very focused on lifting costs. So we think the people that we aren't working for will take a look at our technologies, take a look at our talent, and see if we can't lower their lifting costs to improve their own position. You can expect us to continue to make longer-term strategic investments in the business. Those specifically would be infrastructure that will lower our costs or create competitive advantages. All of that spending will be discretionary. It'll be out of cash flow, exactly like our dividend. We're going to continue to fund things that will grow the business out of cash flow and pay shareholders a dividend out of cash flow. I'll now turn it over to Craig, and then we'll be happy to take questions at the end of that.
Thanks, Tom. As Tom mentioned, we're very pleased to have announced yesterday record results for us for a quarter, as our strategy, as Tom has just described, continues to unfold across North America. Gross revenue for the quarter was just under $273 million. That's in comparison to the previous Q3 of $182 million, an increase of over 50% from the prior year. Both Canada and the United States growing on that factor. Canada, $114 million versus $65 million the year before. The U.S., $160 million versus $117 million the year before. As well, EBITDAC for the quarter was a record for us at just under $55 million versus $32.6 million of the previous year, or an increase of 68%. As Tom has described, all facets of the business on both sides of the border are performing well, and we see opportunities everywhere in our business today. As a result, we've upped our annual guidance for 2014, a revenue range of $945 million to $965 million, and an EBITDAC range of $170 to $178 million. As well, our balance sheet at this point in time has never been better. During the quarter, we raised $75 million worth of equity in order to pay for the three acquisitions of Riotech, Canwell, and Southwest. And we also raised an additional $75 million of senior unsecured notes, which we now have a total of $300 million of unsecured notes, which are termed out till April 2020. And to remind investors that we've talked to, that's an after-tax cost of capital on those notes for us of approximately 2.2%. We also reorganized our senior lending syndicate during the quarter. You know, we have upsized it to $200 million facility with a $100 million accordion. So we have plenty of dry powder on the balance sheet to execute our business plan. The dividend, as Tom mentioned, will be paid out of free cash flow. After several increases in 2014, we are leaving it at this stage at 0.275 cents a month or 33 cents per year. We believe it's solid and safe, and we believe our business model is robust, and we should be able to continue to pay that dividend, as I mentioned, out of free cash flow. At this stage, we'd like to turn it over to everyone on the call for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Jason Sawatsky with AltaCorp Capital. Your line is open.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Jason.
So, Tom, we'll just start with the U.S. Just looking at the Permian right now, you've been able to increase the number of rigs there from 40 to 50, you know, since you did the Venture Mud acquisition. Just wondering, with further delays on the Barite facility, do you think you can still take that rig count a little bit higher, or we sort of hit a ceiling here until that facility is complete?
No, we have reason to believe we can go up. Our intel tells us that people will continue to spend there.
Okay.
And the reason we think we can go up is more rigs are continuing to go sideways, and that lends itself to our technologies like MMH and EnerReach. I think we have developed a reputation in that market which is new to going horizontal, as the company to talk with if you have a tough well to drill. So as guys want to push these wells further sideways, EnerReach can create that. And this MMH technology that we brought into the company a year ago, it's a water-based mud that allows you to drill what drilling guys would call thief zones or lost circulation zones. We can prevent lost circulation across those sections of the hole or rock, not lose this expensive oil-based mud into it that conventionally you drill with. We've got chemistry that inhibits sloughing shale that we can put into that system. Some very blue chip operators are using this with success. We think we can go up in their shops. We've had a nice development where one of the very big independents has reshuffled their talent and put someone that we have a long history with into that market. So we think we can go up there. And then you bring barite into the market, you know, later in 15, Jason. Overall, we're glad we went to that market and think there's a lot of upside for us.
Okay. And was the delay on the facility, is that still permitting issues, et cetera?
You know, it's kind of three things. We've had sort of 3 6-month delays. When we were originally given a survey by the port on the land that we took the long-term lease on, the survey showed that it was pristine land that was all fill. And it turned out that there was a sewer line that the port had not recognized was on that land. It caused us delays needing to move that line because it was exactly underneath where we were putting our facility. Then we ran into 6 months of delays on air permits. During those 12 months, the state of Texas changed regulations to hurricane-proof buildings from being able to withstand 120-mile-an-hour winds to 135. Okay. That forced us to go back and get new engineered drawings of the metal building that will basically be built around this mill. It also increased how deep we needed to go with pilings to put the building on so that the wind basically wouldn't tip over a building and pull the foundation out of the ground. So it's been a 3 times 6-month delay. We are very confident that we have the best minerals people in the mud business working with us. We're very focused on supply and logistics of that important input, and long-term think that that mill is going to put money to the bottom line every month for the company, and it's going to make us a player in doing swaps for that important product. Our volumes of that stuff in Canada have went through the roof as guys are drilling these deep overpressured formations, so we need to be basic in that space. That mill is allowing us to work with Indian, Chinese, Moroccan, and Mexican suppliers, and we're looking at other countries that strategically could supply both the Gulf Coast and Canada by bringing stuff up the Pacific side in through Vancouver or maybe Portland.
Okay, great. Great color. Okay, and then just looking at the JChem business right now, I think you guys have looked in the past at, you know, maybe looking at the wholesale market, you know, for production chemicals. Just wondering if, you know, are you currently selling into that market and you know, is this something that can materially impact utilization at the JChem plant?
I think what's going to material impact JChem is further use of their products in the Canadian market through PureChem. We've recently treated some significant sections of pipeline for some big midstream operators. We're making really good headway in the Deep Basin, starting to pick up some work in the oil sands. And then the Texas market for production chemicals, Jason, is astronomical. We are starting to get top talent because we're starting to be recognized as one of the few places that's basic in the chemistry, and there's only now a couple of those names. If you believe what's on the wire, Baker Hughes might be part of Halliburton soon, and Echo Labs. and then it goes to us and Weatherford is who's basic in the chemistry. So I think what moves the needle at JChem is expansion into West Texas, where it's all oil, water comes with oil, we're treating water and oil. The Eagle Ford can be a big market for us. We are working on a wholesale scenario where we would supply a company that's big enough that they want to self-supply production chemistry in the Gulf Coast. But the big mover is just getting more of the right talent, and they're becoming available because of consolidation of these huge companies.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
We are, Jason, seeing some nice developments for stimulation and fracturing chemistry. We've got what we consider to be a top-level team put together in the U.S. now, and we think we've got the top frac chemical guy as our CTO of the company in Canada. So that's a place that's starting to come together. We were doing pipeline training for the last 2 days here in Calgary for our own people with the JChem pipeline group. That's a potentially a big market for us, and we've got lots of room in Kansas to make this stuff.
Perfect. Okay. And then just final question in Canada, just so I'm clear. Obviously, the Interclear product has been very successful, successful for you guys in the Montney. Is this Interclear 2, is that going to replace the original Interclear product, or is it just going to be sold over and above?
What it is we will stop mixing the current corrosion inhibitor that we use,
okay. And
we'll replace it with one which we have a patent application around that in the lab tests a magnitude better in prevention of metal loss. So it's just an enhancement of the way to treat corrosion. You're going to use the same salt, get the same benefit at the drill bit, and have lower risk of metal loss to your drill pipe and liner or to the rig.
Perfect. Okay, great. Thanks for the color.
Your next question comes from the line of Steve Kammermayer with Claris Securities. Your line is open.
Oh, hi, guys. Looking in Canada here, so you posted a 36% market share. Operating days were up about 33% year over year. Just wondering if you can give us a sense of how much of that was due to the acquisitions and how much of that would have been organic.
We picked up quite a bit of new deep work through the acquisition of Riotech. We picked up a little bit of heavy oil work, and then there's a modest amount of organic growth in that. But a lot of it's the pickup through the transactions.
And then just on the increased guidance here. So obviously it was a great quarter in Q3. The range you give suggests a slowdown from Q3 sequentially. Anyway, is that just a typical seasonal slowdown, or for the holidays, or is there something else you're seeing—a pullback in spending, or was Q3 just a bit of an anomaly? Maybe how good it was.
Steve, I think, first of all, whenever you post a record quarter, you should be proud of it and excited about it. Our expectation is we're going to grow from there overall. But as you mentioned, Q4 many times has a little bit of a pullback in the month of December as budgets run out for certain operators and or people take an early break to Christmas. So for us, we want to be conservative in our guidance always and be comfortable that we can meet that guidance. So at this stage, the reason for that, call it lower sequential quarter over quarter, is exactly what you said, the anticipation that there may be a slowdown in December of operators as budgets dry up and or guys decide to take maybe an earlier break to Christmas in this commodity environment.
Okay. And maybe just on the clear environmental expansion, did I hear you right? Were you guys thinking of expanding that and getting into the disposal well side or more the water management side?
I'd say, Steve, that we're considering all options. We can see that that's a growing market. Clear has sort of transitioned into doing a lot of water management for its customers. So we've got people with expertise. They're people that we have a long history with that we have a high degree of trust in. So we're we're sort of investigating ways that maybe we could create growth with that talent.
Okay, that's great. Thanks. That's all I had, guys. Great quarter.
Your next question comes from the line of Bhakti Pavani with Euro Pacific Capital. Your line is open.
Good morning, guys. Great quarter.
Thank you.
Just a couple of questions from my side. Just wanted to get, I mean, you just mentioned about the Clear Environmental Solutions, and last quarter you did lose two of the key employees. So I was just curious to know if you were able to replace them, and what kind of outlook or what kind of strategy do you have for that business line?
Well, we've replaced one of those two people organically by advancing someone within the company. Existing management has taken on a little more customer relations than they were doing before those people left, and we think we're close to recruiting a high-end person that could backfill one of those roles. And then, as we've talked about a little bit on the call, we think we can perhaps increase the scope of what Clear does and perhaps grow that business by expanding how they help operators manage water. We're not looking to get into tanks, but where water goes, how it's handled, whether you use chemistry to recycle and reuse frac flowback, or whether you're helping get it to disposal facilities, we're looking at all those options.
Okay, thank you. Also, I know you haven't provided 2015 guidance at this point of time, but just kind of curious to know, with the given environment in commodities market, and a lot of E&P operators here in the U.S. haven't disclosed any but have expressed the flexibility that they might cut down on the drilling. So, you know, you have been in the industry. What kind of sense, or is there any sense that you are getting that there might be a slowdown in drilling, and how are you planning to prepare for that?
Well, we think certainly that there will be a slowdown because cash flow for our customers is going to be down. Many of our customers have significant production hedges in place, but we think our customers run good businesses. They're not going to look to distress their own balance sheets. So we're anticipating that there will be some reduction in drilling and fracking. We don't know what that reduction will be yet, which is why we have delayed providing the guidance. We're looking for the same intel that you're looking for, and we think that's not coming until OPEC meets, and possibly not even until early in 15. We are confident that the people we work for will continue to be our customers. We're in a position to sharpen our pencil as they require so they can stretch their dollar further. The trends that make them money all are in our favor. Longer horizontal wells, bigger fracs, more stages of fracs, more chemistry in those fracs, and of course all the existing production and produced water, all of that needs to be treated. So that kind of baseline business we have at JChem and PureChem actually ought to grow in this environment, because there's going to be a significant focus on lowering lifting costs. So we think Supercore, solid chemistry, our patented H2S scavenger, our ability to blend molecules that we react and build to solve new formations that are getting produced, their problems, we think all of those things are going to help us in a market that we're only 1 or 2% of today.
Okay, that's great, color. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Kevin Lowe with First Energy. Your line is open.
Good morning, fellas.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi. Can you kind of elaborate on the Marcellus? I mean, in your commentary, you were saying that you've, you know, kind of picked up business there and gained some market share. first of all, I want to make sure that I heard it right, and secondly, I guess, can you give us a sense of why that is?
Well, we picked up some work from some customers that changed someone else out for us. A few more rigs working there. I think we're pushing about 30 jobs up there, Kevin.
Yeah.
So we've, as people that have known us a long time know, at one point we were almost at 50 jobs in the Northeast U.S. We went down into the low 20s, and we're back up to close to 30. We've got great talent there. We have provided that market and kind of made a market for the use of what would traditionally be considered offshore technology. So we run synthetic oils. So we run oil-based muds that are not made out of diesel or distillates, but out of synthetic or benign oils that are not a threat to groundwater. So it's a way to deliver a greener solution in an area that is tricky to drill and under a lot of scrutiny by, you know, nearby landowners and people that have a strong concern of the environment.
Okay, that's great. In terms of your CapEx, is there any update there, or is it just the same as what it was before?
Yeah, we're going to continue, Kevin, to look to spend, you know, somewhere in the range of 5% of revenue. We're going to be opportunistic in how we spend that. Maintenance capital remains very low in the business. What would the number for maintenance be, Craig?
Yeah, it's sort of 0.1% of the top line. It is a good barometer for that going forward.
Okay, so about $10 million-ish, I guess. Okay, and just in terms of your, you know, your, can you give us an update on what the utilization of your barite grinding facility is right now, or give us a sense of how full your facilities are?
Well, the barite grinding facility is not built yet. We continue to use third-party mills. They're at close to capacity. We own all of the ore that goes into them. Our facility in Kansas would be below 25% utilized. We are close to capacity in Carlisle, looking at possibly doing some blending out in Alberta of oil-based mud products to create a little more throughput in Carlisle so it can continue to just make specialty chemicals. That's a very modular facility. It's relatively easy for us to put more tanks to blend in there. We would probably look to expand what's inside of buildings there. In Kansas, we continue to work towards finishing nitrile and hydrogenation. We think that's a game changer for us when that comes online. Organophyllic clay, which is viscosifier for oil-based muds, that part of the Kansas plant was commissioned this summer, and we're looking to add a second shift to that to increase throughput. We've made some improvements in, you know, what I'd call our Laverne and Shirley assembly line for solid chemistry in Kansas. That's about doubled throughput, and we're looking to add another shift there as well.
Great. That's a great update. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Elias Vaskolas with Industrial Alliance. Your line is open.
Good morning. I've got a question, just sort of philosophical. If you make an acquisition, as you did in Q3, what level would you change your guidance in terms of revenue or your EBITDAC? In other words, if you make an acquisition, irrelevant to the size, at what point would you do a guidance change and communicate that to the market?
Well, Elias, this is Craig. You know, under securities laws, we're required to update our guidance based on any material event that would change that guidance up or down. So if we've done an acquisition that we believe has truly moved the needle, we're under requirement to change the guidance and reflect that. Obviously, in a business of our size with many different facets moving up and down all the time, hopefully mostly up, and that's been our experience, you know, you have to blend that into the overall decision. So I don't know if I can give you a hard and fast answer, but the reality is once we see numbers that make sense to us, then we will communicate them to the market.
Okay. So, you know, and would that be sort of a material revenue thing, EBITDA combination, or
it's a combination, right? We're guiding the market right now, or we have for 2014 based on revenue and EBITDA, right? So those are the two metrics that we've been guiding to. So if those remain the two metrics, then those would be the two metrics that we would be looking to guide the market to when changes came.
Okay. I think that gives me a bit of an idea. The next question has to do with the original roll into a going back to the roll in the corporation. I just want to get my head around the Navarro transaction. It had approximately $100 million of losses. Is that correct?
So we acquired, when we did the conversion transaction, $58 million of non-capital losses.
58, okay.
Yeah. And we've used all of those losses based on the, you know, profitability of the business long ago. Since you're mentioning that, and we have disclosed information in our reporting this quarter, we have received a letter from CRA challenging the merits of the conversion transaction. We are very confident of our tax filing position. To remind people of our history, we actually converted in advance of most SIFT organizations at the time, and the reason for our conversion was we were a limited partnership structure, not a trust structure. We were moving into the United States doing acquisitions. We wanted to be able to issue equity to these vendors in the United States, and under our limited partnership structure, we could not issue one unit or share to a non-Canadian, which forced us to look at conversion transactions ahead of many of our other peers, let's call it. We converted January 1st, 2010. On March 3rd or thereabout of 2010, the federal government changed the rules with respect to these conversion transactions. So we actually did all our transaction before the rules changed, based on the rules in place, and the motive of the conversion was to issue equity to our U.S. vendors.
So there's no the losses have been used. There is no future present value of any losses. It's just looking back from everything you've said.
That is correct, Elish.
Thanks. Okay, that's it for me.
There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Simons, I'll turn the call back over to you.
Well, we thank callers for their time, and we'd like to thank our customers for their business. We're prepared for what looks to be a lower commodity price for people. We understand what that means as a service provider, that they need to stretch their drilling and completion dollar. We want to thank our employees for great work, and we're here to build a long-term business. We're going to be looking to recruit more high-end talent. We're going to be looking to finish out Kansas and in time fill that plant with production of product. We're happy to take calls from people individually. And we'll look forward when we have enough information, we think, to present the market with 15 guidance. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.